Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, United makes the news again by issuing a bump passenger a $10,000 voucher.
Oh.
And the A's say it will cost Giant fans more to park at the Oakland Coliseum. Ah, but we have the secret code for the regular price.
Well, of course you do. In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, Mark reminds you that when the airlines or anyone else offers you a voucher, cash is king, and oftentimes, you're entitled to it.
Culinary adventures are a huge part of travel. Today, we introduce you to a piece of culinary fun you can enjoy close to home or in faraway places. It's called Eat With, and it's a pretty cool idea. It comes up at 3:35.
And finally, our favorite travel agent, Gwen Duncan, stops by at 3:50 to talk about families traveling together. Now, she has a list of the rankings on cruise lines and which are popular with families.
We would like to thank you for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Paradise to go.
To Alaska, I go north to Rush Your Zone.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, and we are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend. Mark, we got a lot of good stuff on today's show.
We do. We have a lot of interesting things, I think.
Why am I telling you this? You already know that.
Yeah. I mean, I consider them interesting. Whether the audience considers them interesting or not will be determined, I suppose, over the course of the next 50 minutes. How are you, Mr. Romano?
I'm doing well. I got shut out of the Kings game Thursday night with protesters.
Uh-huh.
So I got marched on, okay?
There you go.
And then you went out and did some marching yourself.
I did.
You were in Phoenix last weekend. We were on the air, and you were at a Giants baseball game.
I was.
And then I get a text message in the towards the end of the week, and Mark says, I'm going to Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and I'm marching with young people and their families on that march for
March
gun
for
control.
Our lives, yeah. I had the opportunity. I was scheduled to be in Washington anyway, for our annual citizen lobbyist sort of thing for the travel industry. And so that took place on Thursday. And then on Friday, we had a meeting, a bunch of tour operators that we scheduled intentionally to hook mm-hmm. those two things together. So I was in Washington for those two things and happened to have, normally on Saturday morning, I would have an 8 or 9 o'clock flight back home and I'd be here by noon or 1 o'clock. But for whatever reason, probably the price of the ticket or something, I took a 4 o'clock flight home on Saturday afternoon. Well, lo and behold, I had no idea 3 months ago that that was going to be the day of March for mm-hmm. Our Lives in Washington, D.C. And so because I didn't have to leave until late in the day, I just decided to go down. My hotel was about a mile and a half from the White House up in above DuPont Circle on Connecticut Avenue. So I walked down there and it was a really cool experience. And I intentionally don't want to aggravate people who are on one side or another of the political discussion that this march was all about. But what impressed me was the diversity of the people who were marching. People of all colors, ages, shapes, sizes, disabled people, abled people, a lot more kids than because this was a kid-driven thing
mm-hmm.
than normal. I have to tell you, I never got close enough to be able to see the stage. So you had to have gone down there at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't go until 11 o'clock. So I could hear what was going on, but I couldn't see it because there was massive crowds. But when Martin Luther King's granddaughter got up on the stage and did an I Have a Dream sort of thing that the audience participated in, it gives me goosebumps to just standing here talking about it. So it was a rather poignant moment, and there were quite a few of them. So, and no matter what you think about the generation of children that come behind the millennials, your opinion probably was a little higher when you left there yesterday, because those kids were very articulate. They had the point to make. And like I said, no matter what side of you are on the political spectrum of all of this, hopefully you have room to acknowledge the fact that these kids were taking advantage of something that we are allowed to do as American citizens, and they were doing a good job of it. And they attracted a lot of other people to their cause. And I know there were lots of people here in Sacramento who marched on Capitol Mall. But just to be there and be a part of it, I was a part of one other protest in Washington, D.C. 25 years ago. And it's something everyone should do once in their life. And that's why I walked down there yesterday, was because I knew that it would be something that would be kind of special. So, and indeed, that's exactly what it turned out to be. There are a couple of pictures up on travelguysradio.com that you can take a look at, but it was a pretty special day. And I hope the people who marched in Sacramento or in any other city that is within the sound of our voice also found that it was a pretty cool event to be a part of.
Very good. And as Mark mentioned, pictures at travelguysradio.com, along with links to everything we'll be talking about here on The Travel Guys today. Well, let's get to it. It's time for the travel news. And Mark, what's new in the world of travel?
Well, let's see. We got quite a few things here. United Airlines has halted their pet transportation program. It's called PetSafe, and they are going to conduct a full review. They hope it'll be done by May the 1st. And so this has kind of been in the works for a while here, but United has said if you already have a reservation in the program, you can get a refund if you wish. And hopefully by May the 1st, they say that they don't plan to eliminate pets traveling on the airline. They just plan to have some better systems in place so they don't have to divert airplanes, hire private jets, and generally piss people off.
So as it stands right now, they're no longer going to transport pets until they've gone through this.
We will honor any existing PetSafe reservations confirmed as of March 20th,
okay,
although we will assist any customer that wishes to cancel their reservation.
Got it.
In the meantime, we are proactively reaching out to customers with confirmed reservations to inform them of this announcement and explain what it means for their travel. So they're not taking any more reservations, and with good cause. They obviously don't have their act together when it comes to handling pets. There were 24 deaths on airplanes last year by pets. On domestic carriers, 18 of them on United Airplanes. So that's three quarters of them.
There you go. So they're taking a time out to get there together.
Yes, a time out. That's exactly what's happening. We always have lots of lists and fun things that tell us about different planes and stuff. Here's a survey. Survey confirms that coach seating sucks. That's the headline right here.
Okay.
something I guess that we needed to know. Anyways, this is which
my publication? Wife will confirm that.
Consumer Reports. So it's a publication of some distinction. Queried 55,000 travelers on a range of factors, including service, legroom, seating comfort, pricing transparency, Wi-Fi connectivity, cabin cleanliness, and ranked the 11 U.S. airlines accordingly. And so on this one, it's interesting. Southwest comes out on top with a 85 score, followed closely by Alaska, JetBlue, and Virgin America. Of course, Alaska and Virgin America now are the same carrier. Hawaii. Then you drop a notch to Hawaiian. You drop five more points to Delta, five more to Allegiant. And then you get American, United, and then really down on the bottom are Frontier and Spirit. It ranges from 85 score for Southwest, United and American 67, 68, Frontier Spirit 62, 63. So only five carriers were rated for premium service. Of course, Southwest, Spirit, Frontier, some of them don't have first class sections. Hawaiian and Alaska scored first, followed by Delta, American, and United. For whatever that's worth, I guess it kind of confirms that there were very few good ratings by all of these people, and they talked to 55,000 past travelers. The one thing they note is there were very few excellent ratings in any category. So people weren't inclined to give the airlines top-notch ratings, regardless of what part of the service they were talking about. Probably the most interesting part of the survey. Okay, a couple of baseball things here. I mentioned in the headlines that the A's, tongue-in-cheek, have announced special parking prices for Giants fans this year.
Okay.
If you're an A's season ticket holder, you pay $10 a game to park in advance. If you're a drive-up fan, you pay $30 to park. But if you're a Giants fan, you'll pay $50 to park.
Okay.
That is, of course, unless you're willing to yell, go A's, and then you get the $30.
So that's the secret code, huh?
That's the secret code is go A's. Of course, the Giants and the A's are playing an exhibition game at the Coliseum today. Here's something kind of interesting. If you'd like to travel to Giants baseball games, they have announced that for only $19.58 a month, you can get a ballpark pass. This does not entitle you to a seat in said ballpark. It only entitles you to admission to the ballpark. You won't have a seat.
So you go to the game.
Uh-huh.
You get in.
Yep.
You just...
You pay $20 for the privilege of buying overpriced concessions and mingling
right.
with...
You just graze
but
the
listen,
concession
this
stands.
This could save people a lot of money, Tom, because a lot of people go to the ball games anyway and don't pay any attention to the ball game or sit in their seat. They drink and they socialize and whatever.
So wander around.
An entire month... But I think it's borderline genius that a sports team is charging you $20 to come in without a seat. And the Giants announced earlier today on their exhibition broadcast that all of the passes for April are already sold out. This was only announced
I'm not surprised. A
week ago.
Now, I find this to be a little disturbing at the Golden One when I go to Kings games. And I don't know if this is true. You do a lot more Giants games than I do, so you can speak to it. A lot of people will buy seats, but not sit in the seats they buy.
Yeah.
They will just wander in and sit wherever they feel like sitting. I mean, I would say that more than half of the time, mm-hmm. when we go to sit in our nosebleed seats...
Mm-hmm. Somebody's nose is already bleeding there.
Yes. And I'm going, why would you come all the way up here to, section 203 at the uh-huh. near the top uh-huh. just to sit in my seats? Uh-huh. I mean, if you're going to sit in some, there's a lot of them down
sound
up
like
closer.
Sound like a bitter man.
But, anyway, I just don't understand. And I see it happening uh-huh. all the time people will come in, they'll walk over to where their seats are
right.
and they'll show them to the people sitting there. They'll get up and they'll move up someplace else.
Uh-huh.
Now, does that happen at a Giants game?
Well, these are going to be people who are going to be in the stadium. They don't have seats.
Right. But
so they're automatically going to be looking for somebody's seats to poach.
Do the people that check the tickets and seat the people at, let's say, a Giants game, are mm-hmm. they, are they checking it out?
I don't know. This is something brand new. Your concerns are well-founded, sir.
Okay.
But I'm just suggesting to you, wait till the Kings start letting people into the game for $20 a month. Just can you imagine that, paying $20 a month so that you can buy $10 beer when you could buy the beer for probably $4 at the restaurant across the street from the park?
There's a place called the Sierra Club. It's at one end of the arena up uh-huh. at the top. And it's a bar, and there's a place you can stand and see the game. And there's a lot of people that will come. They have seats.
Exactly.
And never sit
they
in
stay
them.
There a good portion
good
of the game.
If
so
not
that's
all.
So would they not welcome an opportunity to just come and hobnob, not have to pay for that, not have that pesky seat price to worry about if you were just going to move around anyway? All right, we got to move along here.
Okay.
I got one more story. This one's kind of, we mentioned in the headlines, I think it's kind of cool. This is a passenger who got a $10,000 travel voucher from United Airlines for being bumped from a flight where her seat was broken. And indeed, let me see if you can go to travelguysradio.com if you don't believe me that this actually happened, and you can see the entire rundown. It happened apparently about a week ago. This passenger received a $10,000 voucher. She's got a screenshot of the voucher on there and some commentary. She also got two $10 meal vouchers at Pizza Hut. This was at Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C., and comes just a month after the Department of Transportation announced the rate of travelers being pulled off overbooked flights were the lowest on record in 2017. So we have the dentist to thank us for that. And here is a passenger who scored, how we talked about, well, they'll never give them that $10,000 voucher. Yep. Well, this passenger, for whatever combination of reasons,
wow.
was able to get it.
Had a broken seat?
Had a broken seat. So they couldn't transport her, and she ended up with $10,000. You can read the whole story at travelguysradio.com, and that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, and our Smarter Travel segment is next. Mark's going to... We're going to talk about vouchers and
yep.
talk about cash and the smartest way to go about it when you're bumped or there's a situation where vouchers or cash may be offered. That's next.
Down in Africa,
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And have you ever been in a situation where you got bumped from a flight? And they says, well, you know, we're going to compensate you with a voucher. And or perhaps they might even be interested in giving you some cash. How did that work out for you? Mark has got some information to share with us to make us smarter travelers when that situation arises.
Well,
Mark?
And there's a whole list of different situations that can occur. But basically with an airline, if you are denied boarding, you're holding a ticket, you showed up when you're supposed to, and the airline is saying, like the lady we were just talking about, her seat was broken. And they couldn't fix it. And so they owe you, there's a formula, and they owe you up to four times the value of your ticket if they can't get you there within a couple of hours. If they can get you there within a couple of hours, they may not owe you anything. You know, if it's a route where there's a flight every hour and they've got a seat on the plane leaving the next hour, then they may be in a situation where they don't owe you anything. But if you are denied boarding or if your flight is canceled, the airline cancels the flight. And now they're saying, well, you know, you have this credit and you can use it for a year from the time you bought the ticket, not from the date of travel. Remember, you bought the ticket 6 or 8 months ago. Your voucher's going to expire 4 months from now because it's going to be good for a year from the time you bought the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So be very careful about vouchers as to their expiration date. Be very careful about vouchers as to what their restrictions might be. Some airlines issue vouchers that are almost impossible to use. Fortunately, many of those airlines don't serve Sacramento, but nonetheless, you've got a situation where they know that a percentage of those vouchers are never going to find their way back to them. And so they know that they're in essence giving you discounted cash. So if you want cash and it's their fault, now if they're kind of doing a make good or something like that, you may not be entitled to cash. But if you are entitled to cash, you can insist upon it, and you can get it.
When are you entitled to cash or get a choice of either cash or voucher? What are the circumstances that it's one or the other?
Well, if a flight is canceled, as I said, you definitely are entitled to cash. If your flight is rescheduled and they say, well, you know, your flight is going to go 5 hours from now or 6 hours from now, why, then the flight is still going. The airline may offer you some compensation if you for your inconvenience or to go on another day. You know, sometimes they issue travel waivers and say, you know, weather, this has happened four times back east in the last month. They've had a lot of bad weather back there. They'll say, if you're traveling on these dates, you can reschedule during this window and it doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to pay the difference in fare or buying a last minute ticket or something like that. So in some cases, when an airline or a hotel or a cruise line is trying to be nice to you and they say, here's some funny money because we kind of messed up, that's different from we cannot provide the service that you paid us for. So we'd like you maybe to take a voucher. Now, here's a situation that's going to come up. You may be able to get a voucher for $500 when the cash payment may be only $250. So now you will have to decide whether or not you want to accept the airline's offer of or the hotel's offer of $500 in funny money, or you want to take $250 in hard cash. So sometimes there are decisions to be made. And of course, they're going to create numbers that make it hard for you to make that decision because ultimately they don't want to part with the cash.
They want you to take the voucher. Are there situations where they might offer you a voucher and some cash compensation to go along with it?
Maybe, but generally it's one or the other. Generally, they're offering one or the other. And the higher the cash, the higher the points or miles or the voucher gets up there, that's sometimes an indication that maybe that cash should be the alternative. A couple of other things I wanted to mention here quickly, Tom. Smoking in your hotel room. People are getting charges after they leave hotels for having smoked in the room. In many cases, they are people who do not smoke and are getting charges, sometimes for regular tobacco, sometimes for marijuana. In some cases, these are people who don't even smoke and they're wondering about these charges. So just be very careful. If you are a smoker, and you're in a non-smoking hotel room, don't leave tobacco products around, or don't, you know, smoke outside and leave the ashes somewhere inside. Smells of cigarettes and stuff can get you in trouble. You get guests who come to your room. They spend several hours in your room. Maybe they're heavy smokers. Their smoke travels with them. And so then the housekeeper comes the next morning. She smells tobacco. You're in this situation. So it's just kind of a word to the wise. If you are a smoker, and you're in a hotel that offers smoking rooms, and you might want to consider getting one of those instead of trying to beat the bank, so to speak, because the hotels are on to this, and they're not, in some cases, not being very fair. And if you get a $250 charge to your credit card after you leave the hotel, and now it becomes a he said, she said, and it's our buddy Chris Elliott is proving it's getting kind of difficult for some people to get out of those things.
And a recommendation, if you are a non-smoker and you're checking into a room and it doesn't smell right, it smells smoky, and don't just give in and say, oh, well, we'll stay here anyway. Go to the desk, get a hold of them, tell them that there's an issue with the room and it smells, and get changed. Because if you choose to stay in that room, you could be the one that could get rung up for smoking in a room that you did not smoke in.
No, and you make a very, very good point there. Okay, let's see here. One more quick thing. Full page ad in the Be A Good Today. Talking about IDs and stuff, this will freak people out because every time they run this, just remember, if your driver's license expires before October 1st of 2020, then this applies to you. If you have a new driver's license and you've gotten it in the last couple months, it will meet all of these qualifications. If you have one that expires before that, then you're going to have to go back and get another license. But this doesn't necessarily mean that your driver's license won't work. And it definitely doesn't have anything to do with anything for two more years. So they're just trying to give you a heads up.
There you go. You might want to, make a date and get down to the DMV ahead of time and get that taken care of. All right. More Travel Guys stuff coming up right after we find out what the world's going on. We are the Travel Guys at TravelGuysRadio.com. Travel Guys, Mark and Tom with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, Culinary Adventures, huh?
A lot of rowdy rock and roll stuff
I know,
going
that's because we're going to Kathmandu. You've been there.
Quickly, before we go to our guest here, I want to say a thank you to the
He's
folks at the airport who are part of the Lost and Found thing last night. I came home last night, left a small valise inside of Terminal A, drove 30 minutes home, got home, realized I didn't have it. Friend got on the phone and to the Lost and Found. I headed back to the airport. By the time I got there, the friend had found the airport people who had the bag. The airport people had also left me a separate message saying that they had the bag. When I got there, I followed their instructions. And at 11 o'clock at night, they came to the administration building in a car and handed me my bag. So I just want to say to the airport people for finding the bag that had my portable computer in it and my iPad and a lot of other important stuff. Thank you very much. You averted disaster. And if it was a kind person who picked that up and gave it to a security person or something like that, and you just by chance happen to be listening to the radio today.
Wow.
Many thank yous.
Yes, and for Mark, that. An experienced traveler like you, well, shame on you, young man. You know, first of all, for leaving a bag unattended.
Unattended. Fortunately, it had my name on the outside of it, and it also had a tag embossed on the outside. Mm-hmm. It had a tag that had my cell phone number, so that made it fairly easy for them to realize that it wasn't probably had a bomb in it.
There you go. And there's a good reason to make sure.
But
that
somebody could have picked it up and walked out the door, and I would have been, you know, completely out. So thank you to all of the honest people who saw that bag and didn't do it, and to these airport people who got it back to me.
Properly labeled and marked luggage pays off when you leave it behind.
All right. We have a guest on the telephone to talk to us here. Let's go to the phone. Lauren O'Leary is with us. She's with Eat With. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Lauren.
Thank you so much.
Lauren, this is something that I kind of stumbled across. Every once in a while you find something that's just incredibly cool. The company that you're a part of is called Eat With. And it basically offers people an opportunity, whether they choose to do it locally or in a faraway place, to have a fairly private meal with a chef or somebody who can really cook. Am I kind of on track with that?
Definitely on track. So more or less, Eat With it's an in-home dining and hosting experience. So you can expect anything from an authentically cooked dinner to a workshop to a dumpling class, maybe a tour of a local market, and then taking those ingredients back to your house and showing you the basics of a salad or a homemade pasta or whatever it is. So it's probably equally as important as a dining experience as a hosting experience.
Wow. So this happens in your own home?
Correct. In your own home, in your backyard. There are some hosts for Meet With that rent out spaces. So there are some people that do this full time and they require a little bit larger of a venue. So they'll maybe rent out a restaurant or do a warehouse or a garden party. Really, there are no rules in terms of where these dinners have been held.
I'm looking online. I see that there are dinners in San Francisco. I'm seeing all over sorts of places. You are a host here in the Sacramento area, and I see that you have some offerings here online for a wine and cheese pairing party, a pizza party, a farmer's market brunch. Tell us a little bit about what some of your offerings are, Lauren. And I'm guessing these are things that people could do. You wouldn't have to be traveling. You could do it right in your own home.
Correct. So a lot of the people that have attended my Sacramento and my San Francisco events are locals. Probably my most popular event is called Modern Middle Eastern. It's a family-style dinner. You can expect anywhere from 15 to 25 dishes. And they're dishes that I grew up eating. My mom's family is Lebanese, and my dad's side is Italian-Irish. And so a lot of these dishes come with some incredible family stories, and maybe some of these dishes are my own modern twist on something that I've been eating my whole life.
Now, how many people participate in each one of these events?
So really anywhere from, I've had dinners with 10 people, I've had dinners with 50 people. When I'm doing them in Sacramento, they're a little bit more on the smaller side. I host them in my apartment in Midtown, so I have a capacity of 12 seats.
Wow. Or people could have this done in their own home also if they wished.
Correct. Yeah, we do a lot of private events, and our guests are able to take the host and bring them into their own home, or like I said, rent out a larger venue. That's always an option.
Now, the website advertises authentic food experiences in 130-plus countries, so there are hosts in other countries, I'm guessing, who also are willing in some cases to host these things in their own homes, because when you're traveling, obviously you wouldn't have a home or even a dining room to be able to use as a resource.
Correct. So this past summer, my fiance and I took a trip to Mexico City, and we were able to do a dining experience with a host named Alejandra. And we had a dinner, just the two of us, her and her mom. They went to the market that day. They cooked us a 5-course meal. It was the highlight of our trip. I mean, home-cooked food always trumps what you can have in a restaurant. And that, along with an amazing hosting experience, the stories, being able to eat in someone's home and hearing about their art and their travels and their life, is it makes your trip. I mean, imagine going to Paris and sitting in someone's rooftop dinner and hearing about how they came up with these recipes, and whether it's family lineage or a culinary travel experience. I encourage everyone as you travel to keep Eat With on your radar.
It sounds like a spectacular idea. And as I said, when you're traveling, what a great idea. Or when you're at home and you just like to pretend that you're traveling, you could have a dinner party for some of your friends, or Thomas, it looks kind of enthralled here.
This is fascinating. I noticed that on your website, you can choose to sign up to be a home or a place that puts on dinners. Is that correct?
Correct. Lucky for you, Eat With is accepting applications. So you should send in an application.
All right. And generally speaking, when somebody opens up a restaurant or they're going to have a food truck or whatever, there is a certain amount of government intervention in regards to quality control, sanitation, et cetera, et cetera. Is any of that come into play if you want to apply and host dinners at your place?
So the first time you hold an event as a host, there are a couple of members of the Eat With team that come and check out your space and your dining area and kind of watch you host for the first time. I've had many different Eat With people come to my dinners, and I believe that they do that to just kind of make sure everything is up to code. And so they do regulate it. I'm not sure if they've had any issues in the past, as I've heard none, but it's really more of a smaller, intimate dining experience. I mean, these events are not feeding 100 people.
And Lauren, how long have you been doing these events with Eat With?
I have been doing Eat With for a little over 2 years.
Wow, wow. So have you met some interesting folks?
I have. I've had people at my table from anywhere from Australia to Cuba. Like I said, some local guests from San Francisco or Sacramento. So it is a community dining experience.
And
so
we
are eating with strangers.
And we should tell people that it's really, you're probably sitting here thinking, oh, well, you know, what does this cost? This must be, you know, a couple hundred dollars per person. And you would be incorrect if you thought that. Really, the prices are quite reasonable. Some of the dinners here, $50, $60 per person. So not certainly in line with what it would cost you to have dinner in a nice restaurant. The name of the company is called Eat With. You can find a link to their website at travelguysradio.com. Lauren O'Leary has been our guest here on the Travel Guys. Lauren, thank you so much. This is really kind of cool. And at some point in time here in a few months, we'll check back in with you. Or if you come up with a really cool dinner or something like that, why, drop us a note so we can have you back on the show.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
All right. Fascinating.
I think that is, what a great idea that is. I mean, you could have that. You could have this lady come to your home and prepare a nice dinner and explain it all to your guests. You'd be a hero. I don't know if she does the cleanup too, but you know, I'm guessing she probably takes it all with her. Lauren O'Leary from Eat With.
That's awesome. Well, all righty, we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Again, a link to Eat With and all we talk about at TravelGuysRadio.com. Up next, joining us, our favorite travel agent, Gwen Duncan. If you travel with your family, you're a family traveler, you got kids, and you would like to know the best places to go, particularly the cruise lines that are ranked in the top for traveling with kids and families, that's next right here on The Travel Guys.
Country roads take me home to the place.
Mountain Mama, take me home. Take me home, Mark.
You got 11 more minutes, sorry.
Oh, okay. And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, entertaining you with...
you have to drive home yourself, otherwise your wife is going to be concerned where the vehicle is, I'm afraid. I'm just saying, Stephanie's a nice lady, and I don't want her to call me and say, you know, my husband came home and he does have a vehicle. Sort of wondering, you were with him last. So
well, there you go.
Maybe you could explain what happened. And I can just tell her that you're over at Eat With.
Eat With.
Having a nice dinner. And anyway, I'm just saying crazy things here. I found out this week in Washington, D.C. that some very nice people listen to our radio show on a very regular basis.
In Washington, D.C.?
No, people from Sacramento.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. That's my friend Carolyn, the state travel gal, and some other folks who said, well, we listen to you all the time. And I'm like, well, gosh, that kind of makes me feel good because you're kind of, you know, muckety-mucks in the travel industry, and we're just little radio hosts. You are allowed to take pictures on an airplane, yes or no?
Well, clearly, you know, people have been doing it, especially if there's any kind of a ruckus going on. I take videos, if they will. I take pictures out the window from time to time if I see a amazing cloud display or something like that. Occasionally, I'll take a picture of my wife and I and send it to somebody that we're traveling to see or whatever. Yeah.
So this guy is on a Boeing Dreamliner, and he decides that, you know, he's never been on one before. So he's snapping a few pictures, and the flight attendant comes and says, sir, sees the flash and says, sir, you're going to have to delete those pictures. And the guy says, well, but I'm just a tourist. You know, I'm just taking, no, you're taking pictures of the crew and you have to delete those pictures. So the guy ultimately did delete the pictures, but this is kind of getting into a little bit of a situation. There's no federal law that prohibits in-flight photography. But what's happening is crew members invoke this regulation, 49 U.S.C. 46504, that forbids passengers from interfering with the performance of the duties of the crew members or attendants or lessening the ability of the crew member to perform their duties. So what they're saying is that your picture taking is causing them not to be able to do their job, and therefore you can't take, and therefore you have to delete the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wonder what a court of law might ultimately say there. A gentleman who publishes a blog, Photography is Not a Crime, says the airlines don't have the authority to force anybody to delete their photos or videos. So if you record something newsworthy, you should never delete the footage no matter what they threaten. But, of course, they can put you off the airplane. Or if the plane was in flight, they could have the feds meet you when the plane landed. So I guess it just depends on if you're taking pictures on the plane and you're truly not taking pictures of anything that is controversial and you're mm-hmm. asked to delete the pictures, my suggestion to you is to delete them. If you're taking pictures of something that's occurred on the plane that you think it's vital that you have these pictures and that it will tell part of the story, then you'll have to decide at that point whether or not you want to or not. But if you're just casually taking pictures on an airplane and a crew member comes up and says, hey, you know, you can't take pictures, the answer sort of kind of is that, like anything else, when you're on an airplane and on the ground or in the sky, the crew has the ultimate say-so on what it is that happens.
Well, in reality, you're not supposed to take pictures of random people without their permission.
No.
First of all, it's rude. If you're in the news business or you're shooting a commercial, you have to get people to sign things
and
so
stuff like
you
that.
You shouldn't be randomly taking pictures of anybody on planes. However, how many times have you seen that Southwest presentation that is so funny and uh-huh. so poignant and so entertaining posted all over the internet?
Or how many times have you seen the dentist get dragged off the plane? Anyway, speaking of getting dragged off the plane, joining us now is Gwen Duncan, our favorite travel agent. Hi, Gwen.
Hello there, guys.
You've never been dragged off a plane.
What?
You've never been dragged off a plane, have you?
Oh, no.
No,
I'm goody two-shoes, no.
Yeah, you're pretty well-behaved, you know.
Well, welcome, Gwen. We're going to talk about families and travel, and one of the areas is you vetted out to the best cruise lines for families, and I can't help but think that Disney's got to be right up near the top of the list.
It is. I checked several websites to see what kind of ratings they were getting, as well as stuff through the travel industry. And Disney's way up there on top for younger families. And they've got rooms that will accommodate up to 7. So they do pretty good, but they are pricey. They're very pricey.
Well, that's and Disney that, for you.
Did you want to know the rest of them, though?
Absolutely.
Okay, the one that came out second in most of these was Royal Caribbean, actually, and that's for active families. They've got stuff for what I will call a multi-gen, you know, even grandparents, they have grandparents programs, but they've got the Flow Rider, which is like simulated surfing and rock climbing, ice skating, and zip lining. So that's for the active families, and that's very popular, and their pricing is very good. And then the third place came in Carnival, which was a little bit of a surprise. But they, because, you know, they're out there and they're so popular, but they're coming in based on Cruise Critic and et cetera. They're coming in third, but they have a new thing called the Dedicated Family Zone. And so that's all on, like, deck 2 on a couple of their ships. And they will sleep up to 5 in family harbor suites. And they've got a lot of children's programs and everything, but the ones that I've mentioned earlier had a really dedicated experiences for younger kids. The next one was Princess. Now, they're really coming up. They've got space for up to 8 people, and two-bedroom suites and everything. And they've got cooperation with the Disney Channel, oh, no, with the Discovery Channel and a couple of other things. So they're really competing in the, you know, in the family market.
Now, wait a minute, Gwen. Gwen, you're talking about 5 and 7 and 8 people in a room. I guess I heard you say suites a couple times there, but I'm thinking suites on ships even still are not the size of suite hotel rooms on land, of course.
No, they're not.
I can't. How many bathrooms would you have in that room with 8 people? I mean, probably 5 or 6 of whom would be women.
No, no.
And oh my goodness.
No, most of those. Now, some of these are like the MSC. I didn't mention them. MSC and the NCLs. They've got where they will put two or three suites together, and they can sweep up to 10 people. And those will have 3 bathrooms and 2 bedrooms and like that.
I see. So what we're talking about here is like adjoining suites that can be kind of strung together. An adjoining door goes out through them or something like that.
Yeah, if you need more bathrooms, that's just the way you have to do it.
Gwen, we've got a couple minutes here. When you, as a travel agent, have a family that comes into you and they're thinking about a vacation, are there questions that you ask? I mean, do you have sort of a routine that you go through? How do you find out? Because if somebody takes their kids someplace and it doesn't work out, boy, they're going to be looking at they're going to be hunting down the travel agent.
You are so right. I you know, qualifying the family is so important. It's like if you know that they've got teenagers and they're really, really active, the first place I'd send them is the Royal Caribbean, because they've got the zip lining and ice skating and stuff that maybe they wouldn't get an opportunity to do at home. But there are some of them that have the younger kids, or even kids who want to do things that are more like cooking and stuff like that. Then I would direct them to some of the other lines. And if they're really into discovery experiences, the Princess is doing things where they even include shore excursions for special for kids. So you have to really ask a lot of questions to find out the ages, their interests, their individual interests, and the range of ages actually for the whole family. If you put them on the wrong ship, they'll never go again.
And that's a really valid. Tom, have you cruised before?
I have not.
And you've talked about you're kind of sniffing around.
You know,
it. Yeah.
I get motion sickness easily. I mean, real easily.
That's the biggest objection.
If
you sit down in your bathtub and you feel a little queasy,
yes,
then it's probably the high seas are not for you.
Yes, I'm getting just on this tall chair.
Gwen, I think what you're talking about here is, as we wrap this up,
some travel guy, huh?
It becomes kind of important that you do your homework, or you have someone, a travel professional, who can do that homework for you, somebody that you trust to be able to do the research and the homework, because otherwise you could end up in the wrong place. I mean, I noticed here that you haven't mentioned Holland America, which tends to be a cruise line that is known for being for older for passengers. So
yes,
that tends
right.
to add
they're
some
trying, but they're not good.
That adds some validity to your list here. Thank you, Gwen. For a little bit of information on cruising with families, you can go to travelguysradio.com and find a link to Gwen Duncan. If you need a travel professional to help you with your trips, I'm sure that Gwen would be happy to help you. Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll talk to you again soon. And so wraps up another week of travel guying.
Yes, absolutely. The final words,
dance like nobody's watching, even if you're marching with hundreds of thousands of people in Washington, D.C.
All right. Next week, April 1st, it's either the April Fools or the Easter, or two April Fools doing an Easter show. See you next week.
Leaving town. He never has the time to